We're back in session with three legislators. All right. We are not at committee reports yet. All right, we've lost a few people. Do we still have a quorum?
We don't.
I don't know.
Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Where'd Peter? Peter left too?
No, Peter's here. He's half here. He's half here anyway.
Leslin left.
Oh.
I don't know where Frank is.
We do.
He's still here.
Carol is being interviewed.
Okay.
But we do have a quorum.
What, Kathy? Okay. I think where we left off was, it's my report.
Wasn't there one more on pulled off of consent?
Yeah, we can do it under the planning, because I was trying to get those others so the staff
sure.
could leave. It was the only reason I tried to do it before 7:30. All right, for my report, I emailed you all today two documents, a slideshow from NYSAC and a summary of, it says, Regional Tide Runs Against Free Public Employee Health Care. I got these from Dave Lucas at NYSAC today. I'm going to be on Susan Arbiter's show on Friday talking about the Super Control Board, and I wanted to get information about how counties have dealt with the tax cap. So Dave sent me this some very interesting information. I'll just point out one slide. County workforce since 2001, statewide. Can the camera see this? County staff at county in county offices has dropped tremendously around the state. As we know, the mandates haven't, and I actually asked him to think about putting this a graph like this overlaid with the cost of mandates, and he's going to try to do that. Let's see. There are a couple of events this week and next having to do with gas drilling. A lot of folks are going to the state fair on Thursday to invite Governor Cuomo to think carefully, even more carefully about gas drilling than he's, that's Governor's Day at the state fair. So there's a bus going from here. There's also, I think there are two buses going on Monday to Albany, where there's a very large demonstration planned. If anybody wants information about those, including the public, contact me. I have information on how to get that transportation and details of the events. And just finally, the finance director search, which I emailed you about that yesterday. I'm looking, we've got a draft of the job description that's been updated by a few of us over the last couple of weeks, and sort of an opportunity recruitment tool. So that's just the first things to look at, and I've also asked folks to think about community members who might be able to serve on that committee. So I'll be making an announcement at some point later about who will be on that committee, and would love to have your comments and suggestions. So if there's no questions on that, all right. County Administrator Joe Mariana, your report.
I'm going to be mercifully short. I just want to remind you that at your next meeting, I will present the budget. Same night, you'll be considering redistricting, so bring your jammies for that one. It is coming together pretty well, I will tell you. I think we should have a pretty good process this year. There is an email that you've received. I think Kevin sent you an email talking about a kind of a different approach to scheduling the budget meetings. If you could take a quick look at it and give us feedback as quickly as possible so if we know it's going to work out, that would be helpful. And that's it for tonight.
Okay. Any questions for Joe? Frank.
Joe, the email that Kevin sent sets a date or suggests dates that implies that Jim's suggestion about shortening the whole process is what's going to happen. We haven't made that decision yet, have we?
Well, I think he would very much like to follow that schedule. It's not, at least in terms of your investment of hours, it's not shorter. We've looked at how much time has been spent over the last couple of years on the budget reviews. It reflects that same number of hours as you've spent before. It just takes one day a week instead of two or three days a week to do that. And actually, from start to finish, I actually think it's slightly longer than last year. I give you the budget earlier this year on the 4th. Last year it was 10th or 11th. And the process finishes, I don't know, sometime in mid-November. I think there's actually an extra week in there. So in terms of the duration, it's as long, if not longer. In terms of the hours made available, the same as the year before, it just consumes one night a week of your time as opposed to two or three.
But will it still permit the departments, all the departments, to report?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think we looked at it. Last year there were 6 budget meetings, and 2 of them were less than 2 hours. Others were, so the maximum was 3 hours. So this tries to get 4-hour meetings. But instead of 6 meetings, there are 5 presentations. Instead of 6 presentation meetings, there are 5 on this schedule, but they're longer meetings. So it tries to be a little more efficient in that sense. And then I think there are still 3 voting meetings, as in the past. Pam, then Pat, and Brian.
Well, I'm hoping that you looked at the actual length of these meetings and not the scheduled length of the meetings. Is that
we
you
did?
Did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we
all
did.
Right. Pat?
I was just going to add that I was looking at that just before I came down today, and I think that we have, if we stick to that schedule, that there would be 20 hours of budget presentation and then 12 hours set aside for the voting part of the meetings before we get to the actual final vote on the budget. So it sounded like it was quite comparable, at least comparable. If not, it sounded like it might even be a little more in some cases than what we've done before, total time.
Brian and then Kathy.
Yeah, and we spoke about this yesterday at the budget committee meeting. And the feeling is that because we're not dealing with department cuts, that it's, base budgets, and we're simply dealing with OTRs from roughly half of the departments, that the process should go a bit quicker and maybe less painless than it has certainly in the last 2 or 3 years. And I think that was the thinking behind kind of concentrating a lot of this stuff.
Kathy?
Thank you. I've been doing this a while, and I can tell you, those of you all that have been here a while will remember, there are always September surprises. So we know that we're going to be hit with some crises decisions. I've spoken before about decision fatigue. I understand the thinking behind having 4-hour meetings and for presentations, although I don't agree that it's more efficient or that people's attention, as you can see around you, gets any better the longer a meeting is. But I can understand it for department heads that need to attend a meeting all evening and they know that their time is going to come up, that might be a much more palatable way for them to do it. However, when it comes to the decision meetings, I would like to ask for a reconsideration of 4-hour meetings. I think that it's more than decision fatigue. There's a way that we can be pressured into making decisions that are not well thought out because of decision fatigue, actual physical fatigue, and the notion of being channeled into a decision matrix when it might not look that way at the beginning of a shorter meeting. So for at least the voting meetings, I'd like to have some thought given to shorter meetings. As far as the feedback, that's pretty much what I've got, except that I agree with one of the comments that was made in the mail, and that is, for me, an earlier start time is better simply because it means an earlier end time, and that's helpful. But afternoon is my criteria because of having to work during the day.
Okay. Did I miss anybody? Dooley.
sitting for 4 hours and listening, it's hard to keep concentrating. I absolutely agree with what Kathy said about the decision-making meetings. Making them 4 hours is not the way to get best decisions, I think. I would rather see meetings that were 2 or 3 hours long. I would rather come to a few more meetings than try to have these packed into long meetings. So I may be in a minority. It sounds like I am, but I am not excited by this change.
Brian?
Yeah, I think she's taken care of it. I was wondering, Peter, you could get that a little closer to the mic while you're opening that up.
I'm going to introduce legislation to change plastic bags so they don't make noise.
Was that your comment, Brian?
What's that?
That's your comment?
I had one similar to it that I'm going to hold.
Frank and then Pam.
I'm just curious, and maybe Brian knows the answer to this. Jim made an announcement earlier tonight about the Trumansburg Fair and the Demolition Derby.
Mm-hmm.
He's not here. Do you think he's he's driving?
I don't know.
I think he's celebrating his 70th birthday tonight.
And you kept that a secret? Oh, serious question. Not that that wasn't. Joe's 70th birthday. No. Brian's comment about dealing principally with OTRs. Every year the question comes up about budget creep. And the base budgets don't start at zero. They start at whatever we set in that criteria. And it's like your insurance premium. It's always a little more than it was last year. I don't want to rule out the possibility of going back and reviewing base budgets. So whether it's a four-hour meeting or a three-hour meeting, as Kathy said, or whoever, I'd just like to keep the option open that we can go back and review base budgets, that this budget is not going to be strictly reviewing OTRs. Because, as Kathy said, we could have a September surprise that necessitates us going back and reviewing a particular budget. So,
Brian?
Yeah, just to respond to that, point taken. What I was trying to say was that in recent years, we have started out with cuts from the previous year and OTRs, and that doesn't seem to be the case at this point. Is that correct?
And that's the way the targets were set. So the targets were set that departments, I think it was a 2.25% tax levy increase, so they would need to live within that. And then the other end of that target range was 3.5% to build in some OTR capacity. So that's the way that the budget's been structured. Brian's right. That's quite different than the last 3 years. We've said your base budget is going to have to be cut from the year before. So we start in a better place.
But that does not, and there was never any discussion on not going back to look at base budget. So that obviously we can do that.
Okay.
Dave, Peter, and Pam, I'm glad Joe's report was going to be short. I'm sorry.
I did my part.
Dave, Peter, and then Pam.
Yeah. I hate to throw a monkey wrench in the works, but 5:30 is about the earliest that I can possibly make it. So if you want to be here till 9:30, we need four-hour meetings, or maybe we need to schedule one more meeting so we can shorten them up to 3.5 hours or something.
Okay. Peter?
I have many weaknesses. One is I'm not very good at opening up sales packages. And the second is that, like a small child, my attention span does not go to 4 hours. And I really, particularly 4 hours of listening to different people talk, and I find that too long.
Pam?
Well, I'm adding to the chorus here. I think that in particular the decision-making meeting should not be 4 hours long. I think that is not a good idea. And since we're on the topic of four-hour meetings, I mean, I think in general 4 hours is
too long for us to sit. And we do it quite regularly at our legislative meetings, and I have a very hard time sitting here for 4 hours. So I would be willing to give it a shot. Maybe we could have a couple of, we could try it at the beginning when we're fresh or something. At the beginning of the budget process, we could have one meeting and see how that goes. But I think to schedule in all four-hour meetings is not a good idea. So.
Mike.
I guess I got to kind of agree with Dave. I'd like to see the meeting start 5 or 5:30.
Carol.
I'm willing to be flexible and accommodate the rest of the group in terms of exactly when and how, and recognizing that we may not all make it to every part of every meeting.
You might get a nasty editorial, though, if you didn't. You might get a nasty editorial in the paper, then.
We do expect our staff to work and be alert for 8 hours. If they're on the roads, if they're protecting us, if they're doing their jobs, we expect them to stay alert. And we all, we give them breaks. And if we go 4 hours, I think we should have a break. But we got elected and then documented that we work 30-hour weeks. And you've got to do that. You have to come. You have to show up. And I think that to say we're not willing to stay alert, it just seems to me not serving our taxpayers well. So we're here often in these meetings for more than 4 hours. It's nice if we can take longer breaks, but I would urge us to do what we need to do to get the job done.
I would point out that we would always have food. We always, on those meetings, have food. People get up and take their own breaks, or we can schedule breaks in between. So, Kathy?
I just have to respond. Some of us do work an 8-hour shift before we come to these meetings. We do it all week long. Some of us do hard physical labor, which to some way of thinking is much preferable to sitting here for 4 hours. So I do take exception to the notion that you're somehow less dedicated if you're not retired or have someone else to support you. The fact is, we want to represent, and representing well is something that we get to express what the best way of our being able to do that is. And in the case of a working person, that means not having to work until 11 at night and have four-hour meetings where you're making strong decisions that affect the entire county. Now, if by this you're suggesting that only people that don't work full-time should be able to serve, or only people that have separate means of support so that they can very easily stay up until all hours of the night and be able to not have to go to work the next day, then I take exception to that as well. I think that your remarks are very insensitive to the demands of regular working people, and I just want to say that no one here, as far as I could tell else anyway, would question the dedication of members of the legislature, even those of us that work full-time, suggesting that having some concerns about four-hour meetings is a sign of being less than dedicated is, to my way of thinking, simplistic and stereotypical.
Okay. You know what? Joe, was it Kevin? Kevin sent this out and asked for your comments in email. We could all send the comments to Kevin. So why don't we do that? I think we've covered the ground. Is there anything else from Joe?
That concludes my report.
Smart man.
Okay. County Attorney Jonathan Wood.
I'm afraid to Google. No report.
Aren't you all going to ask how I really feel about
you
that?
You are hopping out of that, Jonathan. Okay. David Squires. No report. Okay. Are there any resolutions to be added or withdrawn from the agenda? Okay. Then we've already kind of done the consent agenda, but not really, but okay. Go to your second page, Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Leslyn said she didn't have a report except to say they meet tomorrow. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The committee met on August 14th. A couple of items that were highlighted. To let you know that the remember the program that you sponsored called Care Transitions, which Lisa Holmes and a couple of others, Visiting Nurse Service and the Health Planning Council, were pretty much involved in. The first of the referrals have started to come through those. We're working closely with the hospital on the referrals, which is so far so good. I was the recipient of some information regarding the CHAZ statewide. I reported to the committee that the downstate CHAZ in the counties including Westchester and I believe Putnam and all the counties out on the island. Remember, they weren't going to finish dealing with those until 2014. They finished dealing with the ones around the city already. Those are done. And they've approved, as near as we can figure, 15 to 17 of them. The upstate ones, weren't supposed to be addressed until 2014. And the material I received indicated that they were under consideration, and sometime in September they would be reviewing those, which is astonishing if the state can move that fast. I've asked Frank Krupa, pardon me, to double-check the information. There are four organizations that have asked for consideration. Two of them, as near as we can tell, one of them is HCR, have specifically identified Tompkins County. The others have just identified generalities like 15 upstate counties, 30 upstate counties, and we're assuming that we're part of that mix, but we don't know that yet. Frank was going to see what other information he could find out, but it could happen as soon as next month, according
Excuse me,
to
what you mean. You said four vendors have identified Tompkins County.
Visiting Nurse Service of Rochester, Visiting Nurse Service of New York City, HCR, and there was one other, started with a W. I honestly can't remember.
And they're going to bid. In other words, they're going to bid to provide here?
No. The state will review their applications and make the determination as to who will be in this county. Now, They also have to consider that there may not be enough business for more than two in this county. I think that was part of our original deliberation. Just because one of them has applied for this county doesn't mean they're going to get it. The state may say, well, you've applied for 30. We're only going to give you 21. And these will be the counties. That's what Frank said, that there was another one of those planning committee meetings taking place shortly, and he was going to backtrack some of that. Pardon me, Martha. That I wanted to mention to you. FoodNet gave us, earlier this year, back in April and May, FoodNet came to the committee and reported that they were anticipating a shortage in their cash flow. Principally because the cost of food has gone up, with the economy in the tank, a lot more people are taking advantage of the food, which is good. The seniors that need, not all of them are senior citizens, by the way. The third item is the individuals that were on the program were making contributions, not huge ones, but some little contribution. Some of that has stopped. And the fourth item was the price, just operational costs, principally the price of gas. They've been hurt by that. We asked them to come back before the budget process began to give us an indication of what they may need so we could build it into our proposal. Excuse me. The need is about $100,000 for next year. They need to trim back on their operation. They're short $62,000 this year to complete the year, and they have come up with one heck of a program to try to make ends meet. You have to really pat them on the back. Lisa Holmes, through Office for the Aging, has come up with $42,000 of her rollover, plus the, no, I think I have that backwards, $16,000 of rollover, and about $40,000 was coming to them from a program that they were supposed to receive it from the state last year in 2011. Anyway, she mixed and matched, and she's able to help them cover the $60,000 that they need.
So that's your resolution.
That's the resolution that's on the agenda. We have to stay tuned on FoodNet because with the economy seriously creating problems, our fear is that even more people are going to need that program. Not necessarily good news, the state has pulled the funding on the WRAP program, the program that does insulation and help for people to stay in their homes by doing renovation and repairs. It was tied to the HEAP money, and when the feds shrunk the HEAP money, which goes to the state pulled their share out of WRAP. Then the state reinstated, I'm sorry, the feds reinstated the HEAP money, but the state did not reinstate the WRAP program. So, unfortunately, that's going to be a gap that I think Lisa said she put an OTR in for that, for
next
the
year.
Budget,
mm-hmm.
About $30,000, Joe.
That's correct.
Excuse me. I'll try to do the rest of this quickly in the interest of time. Frank Krupa reported to us that the health department has embarked on a strategic planning process. Some of us are going to be involved in that. It was built somewhat on the Smart Work program for environmental health, and they're going to start with doing this strategic plan throughout the department. He also brought to us, I jumped the gun here a little bit, the Smart Work program that monies were set aside for. Environmental Health has come up with a plan. It's going to be tried on them first to use a state-of-the-art computer system in order to make their work flow a lot more easily. They want to reduce the amount of paper flow, particularly with the septic permits and whatnot, and we think that it might be something that could be used in other departments. Frank wants to get it started with rollover that he has available this year so that we can actually begin seeing the results of it. It's quite a neat program. The preliminary cost, and he didn't ask for us to approve this yet, the preliminary cost is something between $250,000 and $300,000. pardon me. We had a report from Youth Services on there. They're going to put together a forum. One last item that I'd like to mention, based on this bath salts issue, I spoke with Frank, and I mentioned it to Will regarding the Board of Health. I think we'd like to put the pieces together to see if we should have a community forum on the bath salts. I had a report earlier today as a result of that newscast that there's a lot of action going on in DeWitt Park, and the individual that mentioned it to me said that he's been working with the city police department with with regard to it. I really think we need to get on top of this very quickly. Frank mentioned that there's a task force already formed, and we're going to put our heads together to see if there's some involvement that we should have. the next meeting is the 9th. I'm sorry. No, the 9th of September. I'm sorry, excuse me. I'll stop there. If you want me to do that resolution, I'd be happy to, Martha.
Okay, any questions on any of that so far? All right, go ahead. You're on. You got H.
Resolution H, number 3582, the budget adjustment for the Tompkins County Office for the Aging. I'd like to move that.
Second by Will. Any conversation, discussion? There's a short form roll call.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Ms. McAfee?
Yes.
Would anyone wish to be recorded as no? That's unanimous.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Frank.
You bet.
Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Carol Chalk, Chair.
We have not actually had a meeting since the last time I reported. I will just note on the resolution that was in the consent agenda, the contract on the fuel distribution system, the bid that we accepted for design of that Bostwick Road facility is 2 to 2.5 times smaller than the two other bids received. So that was quite interesting that that we had a company that could do it for that much less. And had some speculation about why that was. They're already working in the area. They're hungrier for the work. That didn't seem to make sense with Barton and Judas, but it was of note. Staff has selected a color for the shoulder of Ellis Hollow Road to do our test of shoulder coloring. And there's been discussion and questions out from the public about that. Note that this was done at a small fraction of the cost, or it will be done at a small fraction of the cost that we originally had talked about. It is a different kind of process. It's a slightly thinner, not a paint, but a thinner application that will cost a small fraction, and they found money in the budget, both their budget and what was left in the Ellis Hollow Road project budget, to try out this traffic calming method, and we will be studying the effect, and hopefully we'll be able to use that in the future. So if anybody would like to go and see the color that it will be, there are 4 test colors painted on the road about just past Jenung Road, I believe.
Just west of Jenung.
Just west of Jenung Road, and the color that was selected, I believe, is the second color from the west.
It's plain green.
Yeah, that's the name of the color, but if anybody wants to see it, and you will have a chance in a few weeks to see it along the shoulders. And I will thank staff for taking much input from the committee, for making the colors available to us, and yet for making the decision themselves as to what color was going to work the best for the county. We will be meeting on September 7th, so there will actually be another legislature meeting between now and then, where you will have very little or no report from me as well.
Okay.
Question?
Mike?
Carol, I passed on to you an email that I got from at least one resident on Ellis Hollow Road suggesting that maybe the money could be used better for other kinds of road repairs. And I have to say, I think there's some merit in what that was said, especially after driving on Irish Settlement Road recently and seeing the bad condition that that's in. I understand why the thoughts of painting the shoulders here are, but there are people that are questioning that.
Yeah, I did see that, and I was away and didn't respond myself. I think whoever...
Jeff Smith responded.
Jeff responded adequately and well. One of the things that we hear from people the most as we go to implement road projects is that they are concerned about the traffic and the speed of the traffic. So I do think that we made a wise decision to try out this method while we meet the state requirements for certain lane widths and new engineering standards that do they're competing and equally valid concerns that people have, and we do our best to balance out all of those.
Okay, thank you. Capital Plan Review Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
Yes, we met on August 15th and reviewed, most of our work was done in reviewing our 2 main projects. The Human Services Annex project is going ahead. The contracts are being signed. I think that asbestos abatement has started over there, or just about to start, and we'll be having representatives from Holt Architects who will be on site to monitor the construction for this project. We also met at the old courthouse and reviewed the proposed mock-up of the desks for the new legislature roundtable, I guess. And anybody who hasn't had a chance to look at it, I would suggest that they go over and see. The committee has requested a couple of changes, including the height of the actual desk, the height of the backboard, and possible changes in the drawer system. We wanted to add a pencil drawer. We thought that was important. There will be fewer drawers with this system than we have now, so we're beginning to look at the possibility of having some additional file cabinets with locking drawers that may be available to us in that room as well, if we can find a proper location for those. We looked at some more mock-ups, drawings, not mock-ups, but drawings of where the public would be sitting in the new configuration. Everything is being shifted more toward the south, toward the doorway, and that is happening as a result of the decision to have the large screen at the front of the room with the projector in the control room and the balcony, as opposed to the other option that I mentioned last time of having a double screen, one on each side of the, on the east and west side of the room, with a double projector. As I mentioned last time, that was a more expensive option, but it would have allowed us to keep the whole desk structure more about 12 feet more forward than it's ending up with this configuration, because you have to have at least 12 feet distance between the most northerly legislator seats and the screen in order for them to get a reasonable view of that. And the last thing we looked at and gave advice on was the podium desk, and basically we looked at whether you could use the old desks that's in there, the old very nice architecture, but not a very old system. It would have had to have been shortened. There was one scheme that could have given a ramp for handicap accessibility to that, but it would have added cost. In the end, the committee voted to recommend that we go with a new desk system, which will be very nice. These are all wooden. It'll match the desks that the rest of the legislators will have. And it will have, for the chair, a raised area in the middle, even though it'll be at the same, the basic desk or podium will be at the same level, but the chair's chair and desk area will be raised, similar to what you're seeing with Martha there in front of us now.
But with the stool that where you can actually sit at it, so yeah, rather than
some leg room.
Right.
So those are some of the things we talked about at the committee.
Pat?
Thank you, Mike, for your report on that. But I have a question and a comment, if I may. I'm not following what you just said in terms of where we're ending up at this point with accessibility.
It'll be very accessible because it'll be at the same level as the – it won't be raised up two steps like the – current judge's desk is over there now.
Okay, that's good. Thank you. The other thing, I did go over and look at the text, and I'm wondering if you could say, you mentioned something about this backboard part. I thought that was very, it was like a barrier. It's so large. What are you thinking of doing to it?
They're planning to put the speakers and other electronics in that section. In fact, they're going back to look for, after our comments that said that was too big and too high,
yeah,
that we wanted see if they're going to try to find smaller speakers that will fit in a smaller backboard.
And that's good. I think to say that there are fewer drawers really understates the difference, because now you've got smaller drawers, you have fewer drawers, and you've got two legislators sharing the drawers, which didn't even appear to me to be big enough to put our, like, our budget notebooks in. It doesn't look like they'd even
fit. I agree with you.
In there. So I think that's a pretty serious potential problem, and one that I hope that you'll be able to come up with a solution for. The other thing, I didn't see chairs. You had mentioned possibly having chairs there, and that's another thing I'm concerned with.
There were three chairs brought in at the committee meeting, but apparently they couldn't be left there because the vendor wanted them back. They were being rented or something for display. There were three different types. There were some that had the woven backs. There were some lower ones. They were all on wheels, obviously. But I think we'll have more chairs in to look at.
Okay, good. What I was starting to say is my big concern for the chairs is being able to raise it. I really need to be able to raise the chair high. So if you're talking about...
Yeah, we talked that they've got to be adjustable, definitely.
Okay. I've got Pam, Will, and Brian. Let me, and Carol. Let me say that the one sacrifice about the drawers is that unless we're going to be really far, the cavity where the chair goes is significantly wider than what we have now. So if you had twice as many drawers, then we couldn't fit into the room. Well, so the The suggestion was made, and they said they could do this. What you saw over there didn't have any lap drawer, no pencil mm-hmm. drawer. We suggested you do that, and instead of the two short drawers, mm-hmm. make that be a full file drawer size, and so you have two full file drawer sizes there, one for each legislator on each side. So your budget book could fit into that.
My other question is, is this the only choice of desk we have? I think it's a very poor choice. I don't like them at all. I would not be very happy with these desks.
I just want to point out also that they have to be handicap accessible. In other words, someone in a wheelchair has to be able to wheel up to one of these desks and sit in it.
Are there any other options?
No, these are the ones that are being designed by the architects.
It's a custom design. Do you have a specific something that you don't like?
I don't like just about everything.
Yeah.
I don't like the color. I don't like
the... Oh, the color's not...
I don't like...
They aren't going to be that color.
I don't like the finish of the wood. Maybe they're not finished. Okay.
No, don't.
I don't like that big thing where the speakers are going to go. I don't like the small drawers. I would rather have these desks we've got right now than the new ones.
No, these are
Whoa,
just...
Whoa, a convert!
These, Pat, were just... that. What you saw there was something to give you an idea of what the desks will be like. The finished desks would be veneered. They'd be finished like these are. They would be something we'd be proud of.
I still don't like them.
I've got Pam, Will, Brian, Carol.
Well, my question is that I have opinions about this too. And are we going to go around and all express our opinions now? Is this our place for doing that, or is there?
I'd like to have you have comments. Please feed them to me as the chair or to Kathy Covert, so we can send them on to Arell and to the people at Holt.
Okay, but I mean, are we as a group going to make a decision on this, on some of these things? I don't know. But anyway, it just feels to me that this is not the place for us to be, all of us expressing our opinions on this. I would rather we had a different way to do that than spending another half an hour of all of us doing it. I want to be heard. I have some clear ideas too.
Okay, how about if there are questions, let's get information clarified. As far as opinions, you know, feed them to Mike, and the committee will look them over at the next meeting and talk about it with Holt. I think the issue of whether we build desks or take these over had some budget implications, but also the design implication. But I think we can take comments over email and not do it all here. But if you have questions, it would be helpful if questions are raised and answered here.
Okay. Well, I have one question.
Sure.
The larger drawer, you say, is big enough to put our budget books and is a file drawer. Well, I do not believe a file will fit in that drawer. Has anybody actually put a file in there or one of our budget books in there to see if they actually fit?
I can't say I did.
You turn the files this way. You turn the files this way.
Yeah, I know.
Joe, are you going to have to clap something?
Only to encourage some timeliness here, because the design of the desks affects the design of the room. And we are, you know, we're moving along at a pretty brisk pace now to be able to move the legislature at or near the end of the year. The architects are working on design to do the cost up the budget. We're working on the financing. So I would encourage, if there's comments on desks, that it happen in a timely way.
Can I just ask, did everybody get to see them? Some didn't. Okay. I've got Will, Brian, and Carol.
And relative to that, I had not seen that. Mike, you mentioned there would be an opportunity. I know it's
that was today, but...
But that was today, you said there.
Well,
okay.
I don't think there are any court sessions over the next little while, so if you want us to arrange some open times for you to take a look at it, maybe to kind of tie into some committee meetings, we can do it before or after a committee meeting, that might be the best way to do it, and we will make that time available.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Brian.
I did go over there today, and I'm not going to give you my opinion, although you'll be able to figure it out by what I'm about to say. There's no mistake that, like, this room is set up the way it is, just like a courtroom is set up the way it is. We are 15 separate and distinct people, and you have a barrier between you and the next person. If you're sitting like this, which you will be, with those, you'll be sitting in pairs of two, it is psychologically difficult to disagree with this person. No, I'm telling you, it's true. You can't. That's why in interrogation rooms, if you don't want somebody to disagree with you, you get up next to them. You see what I'm saying? These are barriers so that everybody. You're looking at me like I'm nuts. I'm telling you this.
In other words, you're saying. So what
you are going to be sitting like this in groups of twos down through there. And, you know, luckily I'm sitting next to Leslie and I can give her a hug if I want to or whatever. But it's uncomfortable given the type of setting that we're doing.
Oh, that's a really good point.
You mean, in other words, we've got right now there's a file drawer between each pair. And
yes.
What we saw is good. Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just try doing it. Try sitting next to somebody and carry on a conversation. Try to disagree with you.
I mean, the spaces are bigger than what we have now.
I understand that.
Okay. Mike?
You know, I keep saying this. You know, we've been forced into this room by the court system. It had, was looked at many times and declared to be not adequate for everything we needed for the legislature. It still isn't. It's to get in there, space constraints, particularly north and south, are going to be a compromise.
Okay. Go ahead, finish up, Brian.
Yeah, just to finish, I understand that because of the big screen, you have to go back. I think that's an important enough element to actually have a barrier between you that you can add They're only a foot wide, those desks, the drawers.
Mm-hmm.
The barrier is only a foot wide. These are quite a bit wider than that. That way we can move everything to the north, except we're going to have those two screens instead of the one, which is going to be more costly. But I think in the end, it's going to be a much more comfortable situation for us and people 40 years from now that are going to be sitting there. And Frank might be the only one that's still there, but you know.
You're saying if we had the two screens and then had more north-south space, mm-hmm. That's what you're saying. Okay. Then they could change. Okay, I've got Carol, Peter, and Pam again.
You know, that's a significant enough point. I was a swing vote on the two screens, the one screen versus two, and I went for one screen because I thought it would be better for the presenters to be able to do their pointer, to move their pointer on one screen, a laser pointer, rather than two. But I would revisit that and change my vote. If I don't think we quite understood the amount of space difference it was going to be at the front of the room to have the one screen at the time. My question about this is, I'm looking at it on my screen now, the picture that somebody very kindly took since I couldn't make it to either the committee meeting where these were presented or the display this afternoon. Two questions. One is, will there be, you know, do you want to set another time that we can go look at it, those who couldn't come before? And the other is, will there be space in this desk? I really think that the wave of the future is being able to eliminate the number of words that we have used to describe these desks and put a picture of what these would look like up on a big screen as we talk about it. And in many of the ways, things that we talk about, we're going to be able to visually represent in the future. So I just want to make sure that this layout and the way that the channels are in the desks will in the future accommodate us being able to have things on our computers and project them onto a screen jointly.
Well, one of the reasons for the...
Well, the wiring, is there space enough in here for future wiring to
they're supposed to be
accommodate the ways we're going to do things over the next decade.
We raise that issue.
Okay.
Peter?
I have found this room to be extremely uncomfortable and not well suited to the job, but I honestly don't think it matters much one way or the other. The thing that's bothered me most about this room is the fact that I can't sit comfortably in my chair and talk at the same time. And I think it has to do with the fact that these are non-movable microphones, and I sure hope that we don't have that relationship. I think a small portable microphone is a whole lot better, than having to lean forward so that you can hear what I'm saying.
If I can respond, it's probably going to be a fixed mic. And the reason for that is because of the noise that transfers for television broadcast through the microphones by people rustling their papers, thumping on the desk, all that kind of stuff goes back and causes difficulties in the audio broadcast. And that's why we went to these very ugly stands. We used to have microphones that sat out on the desk, and that was why we had to change.
You know, there's a way around that, which is to put a mic around your neck to have a mic suspended from you, so that you can be heard no matter where you're sitting. That's a lot more convenient than having to do this.
Mike, I think I remember a drawing or discussion of sort of one of those kind of arced mics that would come closer to you. Not these big clunky ones. Thinner, much more graceful kind of little. Not Marcia, you're nodding. I didn't make this up then? Okay. So that's something that would be built in or attached to the desk, but not what you're looking at now, Peter, and it would be able to come closer to you. Okay, I've got Pam and Dooley.
I pass.
Okay, Dooley.
I had a very positive reaction when I first saw those desks because I love the the throwaway wood that the person who mocked them up used. It was curly maple, and I really like that. But I know that that's not the wood that's going to be used in the desk. What I was, and Brian was there when I went back over today to have another look, and I thought Brian made then and has made for everybody here a really good point. I was concerned to see how small the desktop felt to me today when I was back there, and I've been comparing it to what this is. I'm not the messiest desk, but I spread out, and that just doesn't have the depth or the width that right. this has, and that to me is a serious drawback, which could be addressed if we went, to some degree it could be addressed if we went from the single screen to the two screens, because we could all have a little more room. So I like the reconsideration of that, Joe, although I know the architects are moving along with designs, and if we delay, it may cost more money. The other thing that we were told at CPR was that we probably didn't need to add more money to the budget because Holt tends to overestimate, to be conservative in their estimates, so that things can come in under budget in general. And I don't know whether that applies to their estimate for the single screen versus the two screens or not, but I would like to think it applied to that also.
Joe?
Two screens adds $45,000 to the cost, so yes. It's a meaningful addition to cost. We have to be conscious of that. With respect to the overrun factor, there's an item on the agenda tonight that deals with an overrun in terms of actual cost versus design. So I would assume right now the planning numbers that we're working with are pretty close to what we would actually expect.
I would say if there's a $45,000, I mean, Holt estimated both the numbers for the single and the double screen. So if there's an over, you know, a generousness about that estimate, there's still that delta.
We don't know.
So I...
And Jim was making some suggestions about how two screen projectors might be handled differently this afternoon. I have no idea whether that can work or not. But revisiting it may make sense.
Mike, would you be willing to call Holt, Cynthia, and just give her some of this feedback?
I certainly will.
Okay.
And I think that concludes my report.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's see. Government Operations Committee, do we keep our chair?
Thank you. We met last Friday. We made a bit more headway on the Code of Ethics, but there's some really thorny issues that the committee wants to revisit, and we're going to try to schedule a separate meeting to deal with that. I hope we can do it soon. We had our first introductory consideration of the chair's charge to the committee to look at the county clerk position and whether elective or appointive makes more sense for the county. That's going to take a while to get to work through. And we were supposed to have our first report to the legislature September 1st. You're kind of hearing it now because there isn't going to be much written. And we were supposed to wrap up by the end of the year. I hope we can do that. I'm not sure we can. We heard from the county administrator that he has found a possible approach to courthouse security for the balance of this year. But in keeping his report short, he didn't mention that. So I will try to tell you what I think he said, that there is there's an employee that works for probation whose tour of duty ends at 4, who could come here at 4:30, who is interested in working overtime. And the Office of Court Administration is interested in piloting this for 6 months to see if it works okay. So I don't remember the dollar figures. I'll let you do that.
Okay. And to be clear, the person is currently in the position of security officer. So they,
oh, yes.
So they do this in day reporting.
It's someone who knows what he's doing.
You're right, it's not a different assignment.
Forgot that.
Annualized, it's about $10,000. So for a 6-month pilot, we're talking about half of that. This would allow us to have somebody on site after court security leaves at 4:30 in the afternoon until kind of the end of the day. We have two offices, yours and the clerk, that are open until 5. So this would allow coverage in the building until basically we close shop.
So the committee had some questions about details, and that's going to be pursued further. But encourage Joe to move forward with that. We gave it our blessing, I guess is the phrase. The other thing that happened at the committee, the last meeting, is that I had asked for a status update from assessment and a look forward. Not budget materials, but just a general look at how things are going and what is looming in the future. And that's happening with more than one department, but I want to share with you what assessment told us. They have four issues that are of concern in the immediate future. One is succession planning. Another is the fact that their in-house created databases are way out of date. They need updating with added security levels, and how that's going to be accomplished is not clear. And their tax map maintenance module is 6 or 7 years old. It doesn't work well. It's hard to keep things current. There are ongoing GIS changes. And now it's literally easier for his department to create tax maps on paper than to use this old module. And that doesn't help other departments who want to use their databases. So tax maps and databases are going to need attention. They need it now, and they're certainly going to need it as soon as possible. So that's a heads up from that department, which we had not been aware of before. That's the end of my report.
Thank you, Julie. Any questions? Peter.
I heard at that meeting from the head of assessment one of the most surprising things I've heard in a long time, namely that it is cheaper. They spend less money by making changes on paper and keeping the paper on file than doing it electronically. So I found that hard to believe, but there you have it.
Okay. Thank you, Julie. Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee.
I didn't hear it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't hear you say that, Julie.
It bears repeating.
Will Burbank, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. We have not met since our last meeting of the legislature. We will be meeting on September 5th. There is one item that was pulled from the consent agenda. It is adding parcel to Ag District Number 2, west side of Cuyahoga Lake, and I so move.
Seconded by Frank. And who pulled it off? Oh, Brian.
Not that I have any problem with the resolution. I'll vote in favor of it. I do have a problem, and I don't think it's the first time I've mentioned this, having a public hearing on something and then voting for it the same night. Now, obviously, we didn't have any comment on this tonight. It was non-controversial. But there's things that do come up that may be controversial. Sometimes we don't even know that they're going to be. And I don't think it sends a very good message to the public where we go ahead and just schedule a vote on an item the same night as a public hearing.
Pam?
Oh, I agree with Brian. This came up at our GO meeting last Friday on the redistricting. There was an interest in having it on the agenda for tonight, and I agree with you. And I think if this isn't in our policies and procedures for the legislature, I think it should be changed that we do not vote at the same night that we have a public hearing unless there are extreme circumstances or by a very large majority that rule is overridden. Because I think it sends a really poor message to the public.
And that was, thank you, because that was the last thing. If there's a situation comes up where there's some sort of exigent circumstances, and the thing that comes to the top of my head might be hydrilla from last year. You know, if it's really important and it's time sensitive and so on and so forth, I certainly didn't see that in this resolution.
And that you've already heard it. That's why I pulled it. So.
Okay. Kathy, is that in our rules, or is that just a practice, or do you?
Not rules. Practice.
Okay. Carol?
So, on balance, I do agree with Brian, and I would like to see us vote at different times. The reason I've been contemplating this since the issue came up, the reason that I can see to do it the same night is that you have a public that's interested who may be there and who might then want to hear our discussion and see the vote. And if they have to come, you know, they could come back twice. But that's the, I mean, you know, I like to think of both sides of the issue first.
Good.
On balance, I think it probably makes sense, especially where we have a lot of comment, for us to take that comment under advisement. Or at least appear so. We're all doing so, and come back and sleep on it.
I mean, we can refer this to a committee and maybe not discuss it now because this is really committee work. Peter was next.
Well, I have something to say on this topic. If you want to go, want me to?
I actually kind of don't. I mean, I think it's committee work, and I think that would be duly. You're shaking your head. Is that Gio?
Yeah.
Oh, you get the good ones. Okay. All right. Anything have to be said, Pat, or Peter, or Mike?
Well, we're not all on all the committees. I happen to be on GO, but I do think sometimes it's good to be able to make a comment at the time something is said, but also because these meetings are broadcast. So,
okay.
But I will wait.
Mike?
I would just like to call a question. As was said, this is non-controversial.
How about we just go and vote? We don't go through calling the question? Ready to vote? Okay, Resolution G. All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. All right, then
it
will.
That concludes my report.
All right,
wait,
Pat.
I have a question for Will.
Yes?
I think it was on... The one that was on our consent agenda, the resolution, was that B? It was a very small
this
amount.
Transportation contract? There's
yeah. How many bus passes will $3,077 buy? And what will you do with the extra $7 that seems to be there but not allocated?
Come on, Carol.
Not enough, Carol.
No, seriously, how many? Is it any significant number?
It was not insignificant, but I honestly don't. I can find that out if you want.
And there is a $7 discrepancy, yeah. So you might want to.
Okay, Broadband Committee, Pat Pryor, Chair.
Thank you. We had a special meeting of the Broadband Committee a week ago tonight, last Tuesday. And for those of us that were able to make it at the meeting, we spent that time reviewing the progress that we've made to date on the language for the RFI and continuing to work on it. I also wanted to tell you that since the last time I reported 2 weeks ago, Paula has helped me reach out to various staff members and seek their input and suggestions for the RFI. So Paula met with the county attorney. I met with the director of emergency response, our planning director, our IT director, to make sure that our staff people that are at large members of the committee have had the opportunity to have input into this process. Our goal is still to have this ready by the end of August, and our next meeting is next Monday, and we're hoping to be able to be very close to finalizing the language that we're hoping to have in the RFI by the time that we complete that meeting next Monday. It will then have to, of course, be reviewed by staff before we'll be ready to publish it.
Okay. Thanks very much, Pat. Any questions?
Oh, yes.
Yes, Frank.
Pat, there's been some talk about the county being approached to use the towers for some of the vendors' equipment. in order, this came up at the Danby Town Board meeting last night. Can you say anything about, I assume that would involve Lee Shurtleff, wouldn't it?
The town has not, or the county has not been asked specifically at this point to use any particular towers. Lee came after our meeting in January, where we made the presentation to the legislature and made our recommendation. As a result of that meeting, and Lee was at that meeting, and he heard us talk and heard our recommendation, he contacted me after that and offered to come and speak to the committee about the county tower system, because he recognized that there was a lot of overlap between the areas that the county was trying to reach for their tower system and the areas that we're trying to reach for broadband. So at our next meeting, he came and he gave a PowerPoint presentation, and we devoted the entire meeting to talking about the county tower system and the possibilities for co-location with whoever a vendor might turn out to be for the broadband, for purposes of broadband. However, we're also very aware that any potential use of the county's tower system would be have to be looked at on a case-by-case basis, because the county towers have to make sure that there's room reserved for the kinds of uses that they can foresee. And we can't make any blanket statements about, yes, we'll be able to use the towers, or no, we're not going to be able to use the towers. As that situation arises, once we get the technical specifications for any particular part of the project, we'll have to look at if there happens to be a tower located that would see into the area that we want to see into, we'll have to look at that on an individual basis and make a determination as to whether or not we can do that.
So there hasn't been a decision not to do it. It's been, let's review them as they're presented.
That's great.
Thanks.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you very much, Pat. Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee. I'm going to ask Brian Robison to report for Jim.
Thank you for the correction on that. Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee met yesterday. A lot of the discussion was on the schedule of the extended budget committee. If anybody would like to talk about that, we can certainly do that. Hearing none, I'll go right straight to the resolution.
Oh, wait, why don't you take your question?
Frank, stop.
But it isn't about that.
Oh.
Some time ago, we formed a task group to, under Joe's guidance, to look at compensatory time.
Yep.
Is that in budget, or is that?
That was a special committee. Correct.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, it was an eight-person committee, four legislators. It was a 12-person committee, four legislators. And eight department heads. The committee, the task force, has finished its work. It has a draft recommendation to me. I have circulated the results of that report to employees who would be affected by any change in policy to get their inputs. When I come back to you with a recommendation, it will include input that I receive from managers who would be affected by any change in policy. So it's within 3 to 4 weeks of bringing it back to the legislature, as was committed when we made the commitment earlier this spring.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks, Brian.
Frank, I'm shocked you don't read those weekly notes. In there every week. Okay.
It was good to get it on the record.
Okay. Go ahead, Brian.
Offer Resolution J, item 3591, authorizing an amendment to the 2012 through 2016 capital program to increase the project cost of the Human Services Annex renovation to $1,375,000.
and the appropriation from contingent fund to support renovations of the Human Services Annex. And I so move.
And that's resolution I. Is there a second?
Second. That's the revised.
The revised is in your packet, yes.
Seconded by Mike.
Very minor revisions.
Okay.
This resolution adds in the, as Joe was saying, $75,000 of additional costs, which we have talked about before. I don't know as they're technically overruns, but they had to do with furnishings and things of that nature that we've decided that would best suit their needs. Is that correct?
That's pretty close. Yeah, the prices have come in over the original architect's estimate. So there had to be some value engineering changes made to the plans. Those have been made, but there are a couple of items that were especially sensitive or important to the committee as they looked at those things. One was to be able to fit it within budget. We would have to eliminate all of the furniture and furnishings that would go into that space for COFA. The second is there are some architectural features that the committee really liked in that original plan. It was a ceiling treatment, for example. So this request would increase the budget by $75,000. That would allow consideration of some blend of furniture and some architectural finishes in there for the building. So it just lifts the budget by $75,000 to do those things.
Do the clouds stay?
Maybe, or some derivative of the cloud, right?
To be determined,
right?
Some version, yes. Anything else, Kathy?
Well, that's actually my question and a suggestion about possible rewording, because I see in the 1, 2, 3, 4th, whereas it talks about certain architectural features part of the original plan, and my question was, is it just the cloud that are the architectural features? Because the furniture I understood about, but I just wanted some more details on which architectural features were being included. And the second thing, the second resolve just talks about supporting the cost of furniture. So maybe architectural features should be added to that. But could somebody give me details about the architectural features?
This in-depth discussion was at CPR, so do you want to address that?
Basically, we're talking about the ceiling treatment. Yes. I'm not aware of anything else that we're talking about as far as architectural features. It would just use that as general language.
So it sounds like the cloud will be modified somewhat, but that's what we're doing?
Well, the architects are looking and going to talk to the contractor about different possibilities and what they would cost.
It has some changes in lighting in connection with also changing the ceiling.
Well, just for the public, it was my understanding that one of the reasons for the cloud was for acoustics. It wasn't just to bring the ceiling down and make the room look different, that some of it was to improve the acoustics of the building. So I just want to say that was my understanding, and if that's still the case, I can understand why that, along with the furniture, needs to be added back in.
Carol?
Yeah, my sense is that it's not a simple yes or no answer, since this is still being designed, and the way that one element plays off the other is a factor, so maybe they can do something else for acoustics. Maybe they can spend less on carpet. It's one feature still interplays with the other to the extent that they can't give us a list that this is the exact feature that $75,000 will include, but that it was pretty clear that to include enough of them to fulfill some of the kinds of things that the kind of thing you're talking about, the acoustics and the design and the sense of space, the light, that in order to fulfill all of that, we weren't going to be able to do it within the budget.
That makes it more complicated than that.
Yes.
Well, I will say that the designers aren't going to read this. They had a very clear message from CPR, I would say, that we want to preserve some version of the clouds, and I don't think the wording of this is going to guide them. Dooley?
Kathy was right in pointing out the second resolve
the change in wording was supposed to apply to both at the committee level. So if it were to read to support the cost of some design features and furniture, that would cover it the same way the whereas does.
Is that friendly to Brian? And who seconded? Mike seconded. Okay.
Could it be certain, just because that's the same wording that's included in other places?
Sure. The cost of certain design features and furniture?
Yeah. I used some because it would apply to both, and certain furniture sounds funny, but yes, it's fine. Either way.
That's fine.
Okay. Are we ready to vote on this? All right. This requires a vote of 10 of two-thirds of the legislature. It's a revision of the capital program. So all in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? Good. I'm glad we got 12. Okay. All right. Thank you, Brian. And you have another one.
Yep. The real resolution, Jay, 3573, authorizing the county finance director to enter an agreement with Chase Equipment Finance to refinance the outstanding balance of an energy performance lease authorized by Resolution 19 of 2006. And I so move.
Seconded by Pam. All right, questions? Carol.
Quick question. I know it seems like a trivial matter, but is it the Bank of America, BANC, or should it be K? It's in here twice. It is C?
Yeah. That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
It's the French. The one.
It's a different organization than the...
No, it's the same bank.
Just like Chase Equipment Leasing is a subsidiary of Chase, J.P. Morgan Chase. It's just it differentiates between parent entities.
So somebody wanting to search in the future, does Tompkins County do business with the Bank of America? We'd have to know that distinction to look it up.
All right, thank you. Whoever reads us in the future is just going to have to trust us. Are there any other questions? Kathy.
Just trying to do the math. 18 grand a year for how many years are we saving?
It goes for 2020.
Nice.
The pages, the following pages, this was fun. Okay. Anything else? Ready to vote. All in favor of Resolution J, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. Thank you very much. Anything else, Brian?
Unless you want to get into scheduling.
No, no, we're good. Oh. We're good. Okay. Peter Stein, Public Safety Committee.
Well, I've been waiting for this for a long time. I have no report since nothing has happened.
But why don't you make a? Why don't you fill us in on something anyway?
All right, I will. Okay. We have our next meeting is on September 5th, I think. That's the first Wednesday in September. And I think there's going to be something interesting discussed there. And if any of you are free, you might want to come and hear about it. I think it'll be an interesting meeting. That's the end of my report.
What? Do you know what it's going to be?
I do.
So he's keeping it a secret.
But Frank's going to ask, right?
Hey, Peter.
Frank?
Peter?
Yeah.
Oh, Peter. Some time ago, you reported that there was a discussion and an interest, perhaps, in consolidating police departments.
No, that's not the words I would have chosen.
No. Well, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but there was at least a conversation about sharing hiring an off-duty sheriff,
yes,
or whatever.
Yes, yes.
Where does that stand?
That stands it's still a good idea. We're looking into it. It has got a number of problems with it, and I think all problems are soluble, and I don't find any problems that are insoluble, but this one has a couple of sticky things that has to be resolved before we could proceed any farther.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. We have a motion on the minutes of August 7th. Moved by Frank, seconded by Will. Any comments? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That passes with two opposed, whatever the number is. Kathy's left, so it's 9-2.
Left.
Okay. Motion to adjourn. You're adjourned. Okay. Move second. Thank you.